श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। फिर बाप महोत्सव तिथि श्री राय रमानंद की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर परमानंद हरि 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 वो। Good afternoon to all of you. Pranam, thanks so much for your presence today again, for your taste for Harikatha, Gorkatha. I appreciate Dev Mahaprabhu's inviting me to speak about this actually, because not only something that I like a lot, but to find other people who likes a lot as well, that's for me very much nourishing. No? Swajatiya Sadhu Sangha, no? To get acquainted with those like-minded devotional fellows, if you will, that we can share some words, some insights about this bottomless ocean of Gaur Lila. So, Dev Madhava Prabhu suggested to give some series of lectures, at least two or three, about the topic of diving into Gaur Lila, which is a dangerous project. It's no return, no coming back. You get lost and found in that ocean. Hopefully, we may drown for eternity in those waves. So, actually, today is also the celebration of Srila Ramananda Roy disappearance day. So, I will like to speak about him, which is, of course, in many ways, it will be an introduction, quote-unquote, to something not so introductory as Gaur Lila and Ashramananda Roy in itself. But we will try to share some words about Rai Ramananda in such a way that also this is somehow preparing the ground for further conversations we may have these days on Gaur Lila, on Gorkatha, on the ontology of Sriman Mahaprabhu and his divine exploits. So, in connection to today's celebration, which is the Tirobhav Mahotsav, or sometimes called Birahotsav, or great celebration of separation, again, we enter into the realm of paradoxes. No? Celebrating separation, we need to recalibrate our mode of thinking to find there is something to celebrate in separation. Or as Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say, there is sweetness in pain. That's possible. But for that you have to, again, change your angle of vision. Because generally the idea of pain is, as much as I can avoid that stuff, I go for it. What to speak of going, finding sweetness there. Yeah, basically. And we are, of course, not masochists. But there is a place for suffering. For sweet suffering. As my Guru Maharaj likes to say, I don't know, in the old Indian times, some sadhu may come to a village and he will speak for a week, whatever, Ramayana. Big tragic narration, if you will, one after another. And during the whole week, the whole audience is crying, hearing that katha. And when this week ends and the sadhu leaves, everyone starts to cry because they can't continue crying, basically. I say, but why are you crying so much? Stop crying. No. Like if you are seeing a movie and you are crying, I come and say, why are you crying? Stop that movie. I will almost jump into my neck and say, now not more. And I will break all etiquette at this moment. Allow me to cry. Something like this. No? So today we are celebrating, we have a festival of separation. We are celebrating the Tirobhav of Sri Rai Ramananda. Especially Tirobhavs are celebrated in our tradition. Even in some Gaudiya lineages, they only celebrate Tirobhav. Actually, they do not even celebrate any Abhirbhav at all. But the Tirobhav is like specially focused as the portal and entry point through separation to attain eventual union with the person we are celebrating. And of course, for me, it's very important to spend some time speaking about all these different festivities in our Panjika, in our Gaudiya calendar. Sometimes devotees may have more the idea of, okay, if it's Janmashtami, Gaur Purnim, brother asked me, Baladev Purni, okay, you let me know, but appearance day of, I don't know, Jagadish Pandit, I don't have a clue who he is. No? Tirubhava Roy Ramananda, that's not that important. So we can skip that and send me a message when we have Gaur Purnima or something like that. So that's not the idea. That's my point for sure. No, because especially the fact that we don't have a clue about who those personalities are, that's speaking about how much we need to know about them to begin with. And as much you get to know about them, you will never say, I don't care for that people. The fact that we say I don't care for that means I don't have a clue who they are. And that shows how much I need to know who they are. Why? Because all these personalities are eternal associates of Bhagavan, whether Krishna Lila, Gaur Lila. And as such, they are, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the term ragatmika. So ragatmika means someone who does not only has prem, but someone who, let's say, is prem, is made of prem. Raga atmika. Atmika means one's whole being. Atma can mean body, can mean soul, can mean mind, and in this case means all of those things are composed of rag, are composed of passionate love for Krishna. They are not like normal tatasta jivas, but they are special sort of shakti nitya parishads. So my point is, these personalities are made of prem, and the goal of our life, hopefully, is prem. So if you get to have the celebration day of the appearance of someone who personifies the goal I want to attain, hopefully we have at least 5 minutes to know about them a little bit. That will speak about how much are we actually interested in the goal of prem. Because the goal of prem is coming to us in embodied form, in all these associates. Do you follow? It's like a portal of what we want to attain in eternity. And we have so many of those celebrations throughout the year. So anyhow, some words about why we are spending some time today about speaking about Sri Rai Ramananda. And again, the Tirubhava will be a special emphasis. Separation for us is a very, very interesting tattva, very important, if you will, pearly gates into union, entry point. The way for us to the Leela, the way to these great personalities that we hope to associate with for eternity. And interestingly, we are speaking today about Sri Rai Ramananda and separation, and it is him who said to Mahaprabhu, and we will go more in detail to that in a few minutes, in the famous conversation they had, Ramananda Sambhat. At one point after the first part of the conversation, what Mahaprabhu inquired about Sadhya Sadhana Tattva, tell me which is the goal and the process to attain that, then it starts like a, how do you say in English, like a chit-chat, they say, like very quick questions and answers. So Mahaprabhu, and one of the very first questions that Mahaprabhu is asking to Rai Ramananda is, what's the greatest suffering? And Rai Ramananda says, Krishna Bhakta Viraha Vina Dukkha Nahi Ar, which basically means, apart from separation from the devotee, I do not know of any other suffering. So, he knows how to suffer. Again, goal of life is not to stop suffering, but to learn to suffer, basically. Sometimes we're much like running from suffering. I want to be happy, I don't want suffering. And I get the point. In our first class in the temple, it's okay that we deal in that way. But eventually we will learn there is a place for suffering. In eternity. So it's not so much about stopping the suffering, but like polishing our embrace of suffering, if you will. So he said this unique idea. Okay. You put lots of butter now. So it's okay without that. It's okay. No problem. So what about Rai Ramananda? Let's speak some words about who he is and especially how he met Mahaprabhu and so on. So interestingly, regarding the identity of Rai Ramananda, apart from being Rai Ramananda in Gaur Lila, I would say that arguably Rai Ramananda is the person that the most identities have been ascribed to in our list of Gaudiya Vaishnavism.
Arjuna,
Lalita. Name them. Yeah. Vishakha, Gopi in some cases, Lalita, Sakhi in some cases, Pandava, Arjuna, Arjuna, Sakha, which is a Priyanarma Sakha in Braj, Arjuniya, Gopi, and if that's not enough, even Subal, Sakha, and whatnot. So again, welcome to the realm of paradox. And I will say in that connection, I think there is an interesting thing to mention that, for example, we have one of the main books in regarding to who is who in Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila, is Gaur Ganadesh Deepika by Kavi Karnapur. It's not the only one. There's one by a scribe to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also. What's the name? Gaur Gana Sarup Tattva Chandrika. And interestingly, they won't say the same thing on all of these cases. No. So again, welcome to the dilemma area. Hopefully we can survive. Confirmed. So, but in Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, Kavi Karnapur himself, he begins his treatise by mentioning, actually I'm sharing here different opinions that I've received from different personalities about certain personalities. I might kind of presenting them here. He's not even claiming I'm giving the last word about every single personality. I'm just sharing some of the things. So my point is there is some relativity to that as well, in the sense of it's not because if not how we accommodate all those things. Now, for example, I was recently speaking with a devotee from the Advaita Parivar, with a friend of mine, and for example, they in the Advaita Parivar would say that Advaita Acharya is Vishakha Gopi. Mm. Interesting. And they have their own reasons for that, no? And of course, I mean, there's no reason to try to defeat them or something to that effect. No? But my point is you start to open the panorama and you find, okay, there are different opinions about different things. And as Srila Prabhupada will say, go there and find that for yourself. No? Final answers to this topic. No? But generally, mostly, mainly in our Bhaktinath Parivar, in our particular lineage, Rai Ramananda will be connected with Vishakha Gopi, I will say. Mm-hmm. And other identities that has been ascribed to him, at least personally, I also see them as, to give an example. For example, Mahaprabhu himself said to Ramananda Roy's father, Bhavananda Roy, he said, you are Pandu, and your five children are the Pandavas. And in that connection, Rai Ramananda is connected with Arjun. But also we can, and we will speak about that, the Ramananda Sambhad, the conversation that Mahaprabhu had with Rai Ramananda, is akin to the Bhagavad Gita. It's the Bhagavad Gita of Gaur Lila, if you will, in one way. So in that sense, we could say, in that sense, Rai Ramananda is Arjuna.
But the roles are reversed.
Sorry?
The roles are reversed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Krishna is trying to see how nicely Arjuna understood Bhagavad Gita. And you will see he really got it. But there are sometimes these type of things are there. For example, you hear that sometimes Haridas Thakur, to give one example, who is Haridas Thakur in Krishna Lila generally? We will hear Brahma. We were speaking today about Brahma, Vimohan Lila, and Haridas. Brahma being obtaining his goal as Haridas. But sometimes Prahlad is connected with Haridas Thakur also. So the idea is, so is he the two at the same time, or is just one, and the other is connected to him by some particular aspect of his lila that resembles what happened with Prahlad? And you can, of course, in this case, connect that very easily because Prahlad had to go through so many obstacles and so whatnot. You have this section in Haridas Thakur as well, and being beaten in all these markets and all. So my point is sometimes we will find these type of things, the way of expressing, Haridas Thakur is Prahlad. But they maybe not necessarily mean literally he's that person, but some dynamics of the lila resembling one and the other, and in that sense we connect the two. But again, that's not the main topic of today's class. I just want to mention some thoughts. And of course you can say, okay, if you speak about these personalities being Jai Shigur Nityananda Ki, these personalities being not, if you will, normal, ordinary Tathasta Jivas, but extraordinary Swarup Shakti Parishads, I mean, we as Tathasta Shivas have the prospect of having two identities, Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila. Right. So if you speak of the Nitya Parishad constituted of Swarup Shakti, maybe more than two possibilities are there, if you will. How many possibilities are there in the realm of Swarup Shakti? But let's share some brief biographical sketch from the life of Sri Rai Ramananda, and especially his meeting, conversation with Mahaprabhu. So he was born in Orissa, and he was the son of, again, Bhavananda Rai. He was born in Sudravarna, interestingly, so he was not born in the highest social throne, if you will, as many others, associate of Mahaprabhu, and nonetheless, as we'll see, he will become one of the most intimate companions of Sri Chaitanya Dev, especially in the last years in the Gambir. And he was working as a, how do you say in English, like viceroy?
Viceroy? Yeah.
Okay, viceroy in Raj Prataparudra's kingdom. So he had this political decision there. And as we know, he was a great devotee. Even before meeting Mahaprabhu, he was exhibiting very high ecstatic symptoms to the point of him not being easily understood by other personalities, like the sober Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And that happens, no? When a great Vaishnava is there, Shastra is saying, Vaishnavar Kriya Mudra Vijnyegna Bhuyaha, which means it's not easy to understand the movements of a Vaishnava. Sometimes the example is given with Jada Bharat, who was Bharat Maharaj, dear Bharat, and Jada Bharat, if you will. He was taking the palanquin of Rahugan, but he was in his Abadut-ness, because he seemed externally like a dumb person, not pronounced one single word in his whole life, and just like he was told to do things in one way and he will do it the opposite, so nobody will bother him, basically. So at one point he was taken by force to carry the palanquin of King Rahugana because he was quite, I'd say, stout, physically speaking. But he was at the same time Paramahamsa, so he was walking and seeing these ants on the path and he didn't want to step on any of them. So you can imagine, you are carrying one of the four parts of the palanquin and just like trying to avoid all ants on the way. All ants, that's not easy. So you can imagine the palanquin was not precisely in Nishta, if you will. But Anishchita palanquin, basically. We know what that it feels. Our sadhaka journey is kind of, I'm going in the Anishchita palanquin here. My life, someone like Jada Bharat is carrying the palanquin, so have hope, no problem. You have great personality supporting. But the point is that, to make it like, in connection with that, Rahugan didn't understand the walking of Jada Bharat, the movement of Jada Bharat, and he criticized him. So again, the scriptures say, it's not easy to understand the movement of the great souls. So Ramananda Rai was considered, he's defined even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and please don't be scared with this term, there's a place for that in as a sahaja. Oh my gosh. Because generally we ascribe a negative implication to that. No? Sahaja means he or she who wants things cheaply, no? A cheap lover, if you will. Someone who wants to rush, in the words of Srila Sridhara Maharaj, where angels fear to tread. No? But that's not the only application of sahaja. Sahaja, ja means like janma, with birth or born with, and saha means with. So born with. Someone who has inborn, in the good sense of the term. So Ramananda Rai was what we may call aprakrita sahaja. Srila Prabhupada, there are three, we can speak of three levels of sahaja for a minute. And I'm mentioning this why, because Ramananda Rai, being Visakha Gopi, he was deeply absorbed in Krishna Lila, and we have this famous instance where he's totally engrossed in teaching the Devadasis in Jagannath Puri to dance in front of Jagannath. But he's even at moments touching their bodies, absorbed in Gopi Bhav, and showing them how to present themselves for the pleasure of Jagannath and different mudras and movements. But of course, externally, that can be as he's a sexual predator or something. No. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a pretty sober personality, as we know, before being converted by Mahaprabhu, after being converted by Mahaprabhu, he lost all sobriety. He started. But at that point, he said, I don't understand that Ramananda Roy very well. And they knew each other because Sarvabhauma was kind of the guide or guru, if you will, on some level to Queen Prataparudra, like sober person in the kingdom, and Rai Ramananda worked there. So he did this type of things, but that belongs to the category of Aprakrita Sahajism, if you want to put it like that. Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta generally spoke about you can be a Sahaja or a Prakrita Sahaja. Now, Sahaja means basically you are a devotee, but somehow you are trying to go beyond your adhikar, if you will, in connection to high realities that still are not not ready for you, or you are not ready for them, basically. Basically, that's the idea. Like once I remember Srila Siddhar Maharaj was speaking different topics in his unique way of doing that. And once there was one Prabhupada disciple hearing from him, and he tried not to imitate, but with good intention, but inspired by that, trying to replicate or keep the flow of what he received from Srila Siddhar Maharaj. But he was finding, it's getting difficult for me to do this. I cannot do it. So he asked my Guru Maharaj and said, how does Srila Siddhar Maharaj do to speak about such deep topics at every moment? And my Guru Maharaj, he said, actually Srila Siddhar Maharaj generally does not speak about deep topics. He speaks about basic topics in the deepest possible way. I mean, if he wants, he can speak about deep topics. But generally, he speaks about basic stuff, but in the deepest possible way. So that's the real litmus test for Sahaja. You want to go there? First, let's go to the basics in the deepest possible way. How much capacity do we have for doing that? It's much more becoming to speak about something basic in a deep way than to speak about something high in a too much basic way, superficial way. That's not tasty, if you will. So the first idea of Sahaja means that. I mean, you are on that platform, if you will, without bad intention, but it's some... Then you have Prakrita Sahaja, what Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will say, which means you are already... Like you are organizing Rasa Lila every night on the corner and have your gopis in town and all this type of gross imitation and indulging in other levels of distorted interpretation of the Lila. But then you have Aprakrita Sahaja. So Prakrita means mundane, and Aprakrita means it seems mundane, but it's supra transcendental. That's a term for Krishna Lila, basically. You have Adokshaya and you have Aprakrita. Adokshaya means something which is overtly transcendental, like Vaikuntha. That's overtly transcendental. Everyone has two extra arms there. I mean, you realize, I mean, it's some extraordinary place here. No? But if you go to Vrindavan, it seems like it doesn't seem too transcendental for the untrained eye. You say, this seems like rural, uncivilized village people. Of course, you pay close attention, you realize this is above Vaikuntha even. So that's a Prakrita. Seems mundane, but it's way beyond even Vaikuntha. So Rai Ramananda was an Aprakrita Sahaja, someone who has real spontaneous attraction and love for Krishna in the most transcendental possible way. So again, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in the beginning, he was not able to grasp Rai Ramananda. But when he was converted by Mahaprabhu, he could appreciate what Ramananda Roy was about. Interestingly, it is said that after the conversion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and we won't go into detail there because that's another series of lectures altogether, but he was converted, and Mahaprabhu then tested the degree of Sarvabhauma's conversion on three levels, karma, jnana, and bhakti. So the immediate day after Sarvabhauma's conversion, Mahaprabhu arrives at Sarvabhauma's place at, I don't know, 2 in the morning. Sarvabhauma was still sleeping. Mahaprabhu comes with Jagannath Prasad to Sarvabhauma's bed. Jagannath Prasad, Sarvabhauma. Like testing him. Let's see if he will tell me, first I need to engage in all my brahminical morning duties and then I will honor Jagannath Prasad. Let's see if he transgresses all that and just honors Jagannath Prasad immediately, which will be the Gaudiya consideration. you follow. So Mahaprabhu was saying, let's see. So of course, Sarvabhauma passed the test. No. He didn't even go out of the bed. He took Jagannath Prasad honor. So he passed the, his bhakti is not covered by Gyan, basically. No. Gyan, Karmadi, and Avritam. No. First test approved by Sarvabhauma. We checked the box there. And soon as we know, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was coming with this famous verse from the Bhagavatam, which ends up saying, Tattenu kampam susamikshamano. I mean, that's the beginning, that's not the end of the verse. Bunchane vadmakritam vipakam haritbad bapur vidudan namaste. Jivetasu jo mukti padaye sadaya vak. Famous verse from the Brahma Vimohan, the Brahma Stuti. Another series to explain that verse. But my point is the last line of the verse saying, basically the verse Brahma is saying, he who longs for your mercy will, while dealing with the results of his her previous activities, will offer with mind, words, and body pranam to you, and that person becomes a proper heir, you say in English?
Yes.
Heir? Mm-hmm. To mukti. So Sarvabhauma came with to Mahaprabhu with Bhagavatam in hand. I say, I don't like this word mukti at all. No. How mukti is here in the Bhagavatam? There must be some editorial mistake. We have to scratch mukti and put something else. So Mahaprabhu was like, like a few days, 1 week ago, that was the all in all for you. No? Because Sarvabhauma was an Advaitin. So mukti was everything that existed. And now you cannot tolerate even seeing the word written, basically. So that showed the degree of his conversion, how his bhakti was unencumbered by jnana. No? So second test passed. No? Jnana, karma, dhyanavrita. And the third one, if you will, if you want to put it like Mahaprabhu testing him, it's a way of putting that. When Mahaprabhu is planning to go south in India, he just accepted sannyas and he's starting his chapter as Paribrajakacharya, if you will, traveling. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya comes to him and says, you will go to the south, please visit Ramananda Rai. Before meeting you, I thought he was a weird fellow. But after I became a weird fellow now, by your grace, weird fellow, I became mad of love because of your association. Now I can understand. On some level, I can see that you and him have something in common. Now, he was not able to grasp the whole thing, but Sarvabhauma told Mahaprabhu, please meet Ramananda Roy. I can tell you, you and him, there is something there. You have something in common. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, I'll go. I'll follow your advice. So as we know, Mahaprabhu begins his journey south, and there are some external reasons for that, and as well an internal reason. We always have these two layers. Externally, he's a sannyasi. He's expected to travel and share the message and so on. He also mentioned, I'm going to look for Vishwarup, my elder brother, and so on. But it is mentioned by our acharyas that the real, of, if you will, ultimate reason for his touring south is to meet with Ramananda Roy, basically. That's a very crucial aspect of his lila, as we will say. That will be a turning point from that moment onwards, how all this is instrumental in Mahaprabhu's main desire for manifesting his lila, which is to taste Radha Bhava, basically. So Ramananda Rai will become basically Mahaprabhu's Raga Marga Guru. Mahaprabhu has, I don't know, four, six, five gurus, no, in his life. Gangadas Pandit, and of course Ishwar Puri, Kesha Bharati. He took Sarvabhauma also as a senior and treated him as a guru. And Rai Ramananda will be part of that equation in the context of Raga Marga. Remember, Mahaprabhu, is Krishna wanted to experience Radha Bhav, Rai Ramananda is Vishakha Gopi, one of Sri Radha's most intimate associates, who will help Krishna to be successful in his project, if you will. No? That's how it works. So all this will be connected. No? The external purpose for his descent, preaching, establishing Yuga Dharma, is connected in this travel south with meeting Rai Ramananda and receiving a specific nourishment regarding what Mahaprabhu wants to taste himself. So let's go to the Ramananda Sambhava. on some level, again, this is too much. I remember some years ago we did some seminar in, I don't know where even, but Argentina maybe. And yeah, basically it was one class per each of Brahmananda's suggestions to Mahaprabhu about the goal of life. So that may take lots of time. But this is a very important section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know if you know about this, but Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a version of this conversation in 1959, interestingly, just after accepting sannyas. It has been published by Narasimha Maharaj in search of the ultimate goal of life. So he wrote that. It must have been something very considerably important for him. So that's an important section. So this conversation takes place at Godavari, which is one of the main rivers, sacred rivers in India. And Godavari, Srila Siddha Maharaj makes a very nice etymological play of words. He says Godavari, Godavari. Bari in this, in one sense, means like a main source. Da means to give, and go can mean water. So Godavari can mean one of the main water-giving sources. But he says, but go can also mean the Veda. We know that. Govinda, and so on. And Bari can mean the highest possible conception. And Da means to give. So Godavari means that place where the ultimate conception of the Veda was given. The highest reach of the Shruti has been revealed in Godavari, the ultimate zenith of Gaudiya Sampradaya revealed by Raya Ramananda to Mahaprabhu. So this is a very important meeting and a very unusual one, because remember, Mahaprabhu in a relative social societal consideration, he's a Brahman, he's a sannyasi. So Brahman sannyasi in Vedic culture are not expected just to mix with anyone and everyone. And Raya Ramananda, he is Grihastha and he is Sutra. So as you may know, when they meet for the first time during Godavari, they embrace each other ecstatically and start to cry. And again, socially speaking, you are not supposed to see a sannyasi embracing a Sutra, what to speak, crying with each other and rolling on the ground. So that was a very, of course, that shows the proper transgression of Varnashram Dharma in the context of bhakti. Sarva dharmam parityaja. No? As eventually it says in Ramananda Sambhad, no? Kiva vipra kiva nyasi sutra kinena. I say Krishna tattva vita se kudha. So, but on the external level, that was a social clash, if you will. But this so-called sudra was actually, as we mentioned, Vishakha Devi, Vishakha Gopi, in the role of an aprakrita sahaja, as I mentioned before. And this so-called sannyasi was actually Sri Krishna in the role of Sri Radha. It's important to keep in mind what's going on beyond the surface. So Krishna inquiring from one of Radha's dearmost, if you will, how to culture her bhava. And of course, that's the beginning of this systematical culture that Mahaprabhu will then eventually have in Gambira for 12 years without interruption, no longer being a public figure and totally immersed into the main purpose of his descent, ultimately. So then with them, they meet each other and they will start this Sambhad, Ramananda Sambhad. Sambhad means conversation, basically. And as we have been speaking recently, that's the ideal type of, to begin with, human interaction. You also have Jalpa and Bitanda, and I've spoken about that in my book. You know, the Jalpa and Bitanda mostly have to do with non-conversation in the name of conversation on one level or another. You know, like, okay, I hear you, but I'm just waiting for my turn to speak and convince you about my what I'm already convinced about, or not even allow you to speak and just jump in on top of you and shout what I think is the ultimate truth. So if you want to call that conversation, okay, that's your problem. But Bada or Sambhad has to do with real conversation, which means both sides are not thinking about being right any of the sides are thinking about defeating each other, but they are really praying, let truth defeat us all, if you will. Let be conquered by truth. And that's why we say Ki Jai so many times per day. Ki Jai means all victory of, yeah, all of those personalities that we adhere, the Ki Jai, after, may them be victorious over me, may conquer me. May I be conquered by truth. That's basically the conclusion. So in this Ramananda Sambhava, we find a very nice example of being conquered by truth. Krishna himself being conquered by Ramananda Rai's conclusions, as we will see. So as we mentioned, in one sense, Ramananda Sambhava can be considered as the Bhagavad Gita of Gaur Lila. We can poetically say it again. If we want to see Ramananda Sarjuna, okay, now Krishna is testing Arjuna. How nicely you understood Gita. So let's go again, but like the teacher, no? If the teacher wants to test the student, we say, okay, now you give class today. And the teacher will sit as a student. Okay, let's see. I have some questions. And of course, we will see he understood it pretty nicely. And interestingly, we can see if we want to connect Ramananda Sambhava with the Gita, we could say, all those things that are like fully blossoming in the Ramananda Sambhava, somehow they are implied in the Gita. All the Gita is not speaking about Radha Bhava or anything like that. Explicitly, somehow it's there. Because remember, and that's, again, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but Gita was spoken in Kurukshetra. Was that the first time Krishna was in Kurukshetra?
No.
He was there before?
Yeah.
What happened there? Something pretty interesting, as you may know. He met the gopis and Sri Radha after 100 years of separation and so on. So my point is, he has some scars from his previous visit, and when he's speaking the Gita to Arjuna in a totally different context, totally different role, at times he cannot avoid, but especially there are some sections in the Gita that were acharyas have highlighted in that connection, like the Chatushloki of the Gita. For example, when Krishna says, Tisam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi jogam tam yanamam payantide. There's Krishna. What is Krishna saying there? To those who are totally dedicated to worship me with full priti, with love, I give them the intelligence through which they can come to me. So you can ask, but if you are worshipping Krishna with full love, which necessity do you have of intelligence to go to him? And you already are there if you have full love for him. So what's the meaning of this verse? Of course, there are more subtle interpretations, like say, for example, that verse speaking about Gopi Bhav, and the Gopis are wanting to meet Krishna at night, and Krishna will give them the intelligence to sort all the obstacles to find him eventually for Rasa Lila at night, and sort out all the different tests that they have to go through, or at midday, that's even more risky. The Madhyam Lila, where Gopis Radha have to meet with Krishna, Radha Kunda, full day, full sun there, I mean, that's not so easy. That requires lots of skill and also and assistance. So anyhow, my point was, all the things that are in the Ramananda Sambhava, somehow, they are in, if you want to put it, seed form in the Gita there. That's not, so we don't conclude, Gita is like, just introductory. Let's go to Ramananda Sambhava. I mean, if you can find Ramananda Sambhava in the Gita, okay, you can go to Ramananda. You are already in Ramananda Sambhava. So, in the same way that we could say Bhagavad Gita is the very essence of the Mahabharata, I think if you take Bhagavad Gita from the Mahabharata somehow loses its real purpose, for us at least. Similarly, we could say if you take out the Ramananda Sambhava from Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very important piece missing in the whole puzzle. So that's a very important section. So what's the context of this Ramananda Sambhava? There are two important things that Mahaprabhu presents when asking Rai Ramananda to speak, and I would like to highlight them. The first one is, he's telling Ramananda, please speak to me about sadhya, sadhana, tattva. Which means about the goal of life and the means to attain it. Interestingly, he's asking first about the goal and then the practice to attain the goal. He's not saying start the practice without having a clue about the goal, because it makes no sense. I mean, if I practice in something, it has to be with some goal in mind, at least on some level. So first the goal has to be established, and then the practice follows accordingly. Like when you have with the GPS, you first have to put, I want to go here, no, and I am here. No. What's the path in between? No? Like my Guru Maharaj likes to say, when you go to a shopping mall, well, hopefully you don't, but just in case, you have these big signs that you want to go to shop 108. So it says, okay, shop 108, but you need a second point of reference. It doesn't help just 108. The other one is, you're here. So then you can establish the whole thing. So it's very important to have proper Sambandha Gyan, to have, at least in a general way. Again, it's not that in day one you already know all the details of your ultimate goal, but at least you know, okay, all this is converging in Golok Vrindavan, if you will, in Nityanavad. We are not going to Vaikuntha, generally. Brahma Gita is appearing.
These
bees
are devotional.
No, please don't close the door.
They don't
sting. It's okay. No problem. I like Brahma Gita a lot. I remember I was giving Brahma Gita last year, and so many bumblebees will come when we were speaking Brahma Gita. Interesting. I was like, what's going on here? So, at least in a general way, it's important to have an idea what's the general notion of my goal. So, what's the general mood of the goal? And then, of course, I will embrace a certain practice, and as much as I do that, the nature of the goal will become more specific, and in turn, the nature of my practice will become more specific, and the nature of the goal will become more specific till I reach there, basically. Because our path, Raga Bhakti, is, I would like to call it the path of specificity. It's not a generic abstraction. It's very detailed. Gradually, again, it's not that in one single day you swallow the whole thing. But I mean, any relationship is very detailed. What to speak of a relationship with the divine. So that's a very important first point that Mahaprabhu establishes with Rai Ramananda. Please speak about the goal and then the practice. And then he says, well, and while you establish that, please, all whatever you say, support it with Shastra. Which is, again, another very important point if we are to have this type of conversation. He didn't say just share whatever you feel and however you feel inspired to say, well, no, let's have some perimeter, some context, some parameter here. So, because again, as we always mention, we are to culture what's called Shastriya Shraddha. Shraddha means to have faith in the import of revelation, what Shastra, what the scriptures are telling to us. We'll speak more about that in a few days, in one lecture in connection to my recent book, about the importance of having our faith being nourished by what revelation is telling to us, basically. So these are two main points to begin with that Mahaprabhu is establishing while asking Ramananda to speak. Please, again, sadhya sadhana tattva and then shastra praman. So now you tell me, Mahaprabhu is saying to Ramananda, what's the goal of life? I will mention this very briefly because, again, this is a total separate series of lectures in that connection. So what's the very first thing that Ramananda presents as the goal of life? So he quotes Vishnu Puran and he says Varnashram is the ultimate goal of life. Mahaprabhu says Eho Bahya, which means that's superficial. Agya Kaha Ar, which means try to augment that truth. So that's interesting, I will say, because although Varnashram, of course, is not the prayojan for us, nonetheless, the fact that Rai Ramananda first mentions that implies if you want to attain the ultimate goal, in some way this has to be in place also. And when I say Varnashram, I refer to the gist of that here, which implies Varnashram is basically a system for psychophysiological balance. To be sustainable human being according to your nature, vocation, how you can be, as my guru likes to say, develop yourself horizontally so you can grow vertically. So that's the gist of Varnashram. We may not be able to reapply Varnashram as the old times, if you will, in society, but the gist of that is I have to be a balanced human being. That's very important, because in the name of becoming a transcendentalist, you have to integrate your humanity in that equation. Be careful of, in the name of being transcendental, transgressing your humanity. I'm so transcendental that I forgot to be human. But the type of transcendental goal we want to attain includes humanity. We want to go to the Nara Lila. So your humanity has to be there fully integrated. So it's not that you have to reject humanity. Actually, you have to fully preserve that in the context of bhakti. So I will say that. And although Varnashram is rejected here from the very beginning, the fact that it's mentioned first is speaking about this has to be in place. You have to be a balanced human being for that everything else to happen. You have to be in sattva as much as you can, so you can from there. I like to depict sattva as the airport. No, you go to the airport. That's not the destiny. I mean, maybe some people may like to sleep there for a while, but after a few days they will get out of here. So you get to the airport to go in somewhere else. So sattva is not the destination unto itself, but it's a platform for taking the next flight, if you will. Because if you get attached to sattva, attachment is rajas. So you will be downgraded from sattva to rajas in that moment. So sattva is not a permanent position. It's just a proper platform so to have a clear prospect of what's above them. So anyhow, that's the first idea. Mahaprabhu says, please, that superficial augmented truth. Then Ramananda will speak about Krishna Karma Arpana, which means offering the results of your actions to Krishna. Sometimes called Karma Mishra Bhakti. He quotes famous verse of the Gita, Yat Karosi Yat Aknasi Yat Jugosi Jayasi Yat Yat Tapasasi Kamti Yat Tat Karushna Madarpana, which sounds very high, and it is, of course, in its own way. Everything you do, everything you offer, all austerities you perform, and so on, do them as an offering to me. But actually, the Mahaprabhu will say, that's superficial. Go on. They're like, wow, that's superficial. Of course, for Mahaprabhu, that he has a high level of standard. But the idea is that in this type of practice is, I'm doing something, and then I offer that to Krishna. But our idea is, I offer myself to Krishna, and then I do something. You follow? That's different. You are not doing something and then offering. You understand, I am the offering. I have to become prasad. So I offer myself to, that's Saranagati. Saranagati is the preliminary foundation of bhakti, technically speaking. So I surrender to Krishna, and whatever I do on that basis, it's an offering. It's not that I have separately to whatever. Of course, sometimes we offer things, but the point is, if you are a totally surrendered soul, technically speaking, you don't need to offer anything separately, because you have been offered totally.
Nrsingadev, in Bhagavatam, Nrsingadev took the throne of Hiranyakashipu, despite it not being offered.
Exactly. That's a good point. Thank you so much. Hiranyakashipu ki jaya. And the higher way Hiranyakashipu, as we know, is on a higher platform than Prahlad. Because he's with Jaya and Vijaya there, Dasya Bhakti Vaikuntha. Prahlad represents Santa Bhakti. That's another thing. Nrsimhadeva was garlanding himself with the intestines of his devotees, with the remnants of his devotees. Okay, I take the Mahaprasad. So anyhow, Mahaprabhu is rejecting this, like implying, higher than this verse, Yat Karosi, Yat, if the previous verse, Patram Pushpam Phalantuyam. Krishna, they're saying, offer me whatever you have, but bhakti, bhakti. Two times in the verse, the word bhakti is implied. One time, one leaf, one flower, one water if you will, it's in singular, the Sanskrit. So I mean, how you offer one water or one drop. Like implying, I don't care for that, technically speaking. I care for you offering yourself. And that he makes the point. Twice he mentions bhakti in the verse. One water, one leaf, but bhakti, bhakti. No. Krishna's diet is not based on milk, sweets, or anything. It's based on bhakti. No, just in case. I mean, he likes all this preparation, but if there's no bhakti, as we know, he will always choose the banana peels from Vidura's wife. So, anyhow. Then Ramananda Roy continues off and suggests swadharmatya, to renounce all dharma. And he quotes Gita 66, 18th chapter, Sarvadharma Parityaja. And Mahaprabhu rejects that, which is considered for us the conclusion of the Gita. But actually, the context in which Rai Ramananda quotes this verse goes with the contemporary understanding of what this verse meant for most, which was accept sannyas and become a contemplative and disappear from society, something like that. Mahaprabhu said that's superficial. Go deeper. So then Ramananda Roy said, Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samasarvesuvutu Suman Bhakti Mandavati. So he said, quotes the Gita Gyan Mishra Bhakti. I'm going very quick. I'm feeling so much anxiety by going so quick to the things that require so much time of unfolding. So Gyan Mishra Bhakti means I practice bhakti, but I want mukti. But I take bhakti because I understand I need bhakti to attain mukti. That's what made over and over again clear in Shastra. Even if you want mukti, you need to mix your practice with bhakti at some point for it to bear fruit. So you can attain all these different types of mukti with bhakti in the equation. And of course, Mahaprabhu say, superficial augment that truth. And then comes an interesting quotation that will make Mahaprabhu reply in a different way. Till now, he always said, that's superficial, superficial, superficial. Now, Ramananda Roy said, Gyan prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. Stanistita srutigatam tanuma. No. What's the second line? Jivanti sammukaritam bhavadiya bhartam. Stanistita srutigatam tanumar vanobi. Gye prayasa jitaita piyasitra istiloki. So, this is another verse from Brahma Stuti. We see Brahma Stuti is pretty much invoked here. And basically, Brahma is promoting here what Krishna Das Kaviraj calls Gyan Sunya Bhakti. The previous verse was Gyan Mishra Bhakti, bhakti mixed with Gyan and desire for mukti. This one is bhakti free from all forms of Gyan, all forms of, and this has two meanings. Free from all desire of mukti, or even free from all gyan, from all knowledge about Krishna's godhood, which basically speaks about the standard in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, nobody will say Krishna's God. If you say that, they will say, stop speaking Prajalpat. No. Or something like that. No. Something like that, no. Or even if that idea comes, as we know, some rumor may be there. I mean, Krishna is lifting a whole hill for a few days with just this little finger in front of everyone. I mean, you can start to have some doubts, no? And this boy, something extraordinary must be going on here, and Gargacharya say this and that, and they are trying to make all that work together. And some elder gopas may approach Nanda Maharaj at some point. Maybe Krishna, and they are like afraid to even suggest that, like, Maybe he's God? Everyone, let's see the reaction of Nanda Maharaj now. And Nanda Maharaj will say, like, she said, I know who God is. I worship him every day. Because he worships God. In Vrindavan, God is Narayan. Nobody worships Krishna in Vrindavan. Everyone loves Krishna. But they worship Narayan for the sake of Krishna. Guru Maharaj likes to say they are worshipping Narayan, and as we sometimes may be worshipping Govarnitai externally, but our mind is somewhere else. Nanda Maharaj is worshipping Narayan, but his mind is somewhere else. But that somewhere else is Krishna. So no problem. So when Nanda Maharaj hears, oh, maybe Krishna, maybe your son is God, I mean, that's pretty weird to begin with. Imagine you have a child and someone comes and, maybe your child is God. It's like, what? Ananda Maharaj say, I know God, I worship him on a daily basis, and he's Shanti Purusha, he's the personification of peace, he's Atmaram, he has no desire, self-satisfied. Krishna is the exact opposite of that. He's totally unsatisfied. If I do not give what he wants, he starts crying, and he's, I mean, so naughty, he cannot be God. Like, that's his Siddhanta. That's his conclusion. I mean, if you go to Yashoda and tell her Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, he may just run after you and try to tie you to a mortar also. Stop saying nonsense. So that's very interesting, because all Shastras say Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you go to Vrindavan and nobody will say that there. Interestingly. So the Bhagavatam is saying Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead as an entry point, and then you enter, reach 10th canto, and nobody's saying that anymore. But first you have to understand that. You have to know Krishna is God, so someday you forget Krishna is God. Mm-hmm. And Narayan becomes God. Mm-hmm. But again, everyone will worship Narayan only for the sake of Krishna. Like when once Krishna was in Rasa Lila with the gopis, and he disappears, and the gopis start to look for him running here and there, and Krishna appears as Narayan on the way. He shows four arm form, and the gopis like are running, and suddenly meet Narayan, and they only have one question in mind to ask Narayan, which is, where is Krishna? I mean, you are God, you are omniscient, you know everything. Can you tell us where is Krishna? Krishna is like, oh my gosh, no. This is too much. And Krishna is not replying because he's totally choked up. I mean, what can I? And the gopis say, I mean, for some reason, God is not replying. Let's continue looking for Krishna. Let's go. And Krishna like that. So that's a very unique psychology you find in Braj. No, we have to be ready for that. So this is Gyan Sunya Bhakti, that's my point. They have no clue, if you will, Krishna is God. Srila Samaras will call that Gyan Sunya Bhakti, brain dead bhakti. Of course, this is not an invitation to be lazy intellectually. No? Let's try to get it right. If you use properly your head, as my Guru Maharaj likes to say, you use your head to soften your heart. Do not try to soften your heart without using your head. But use your head to soften your heart. If you don't do it in that direction, your heart may become a rock, just stuck here. So when you do that properly, your head will show its own limits and tell you, I cannot go any further here. No? So then you can enter another realm. So my point is, I'm sorry to digress for a minute, Ramananda Roy is saying this, Gyan Sunya Bhakti, this is what Brahma said, and Mahaprabhu is not saying that's superficial. Say, oh, I like that one. So please continue on the basis of that. Because again, that verse is showing this the foundation of Brajabha. So, okay, we can progress from here on. So again, Ramananda Roy will say, okay, let's speak about Prem Bhakti in the context of Raga Bhakti. And he will quote this famous verse from Rupa Goswami. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Jadi Kuto Pilabhyate. Tatra laulam api kalam molyam janma kati sukritar na labhyate. Which basically, this is a very nice verse, and actually Srila Prabhupada said, I was inspired from this verse to name my society Krishna Consciousness Society. And this verse speaks about bhakti rasa, the concept of raga bhakti, and how the price to pay to attain that, the exclusive price is, the currency there is greed. You are to expected to pay in coins of greed, if you will. Not any other. You can perform millions of lifetimes of pious activities. That's not the currency. Sorry. Tatra laulyam apyekalam molyam. So he presents this idea to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu says, okay, nice. But still, go on. So now he's speaking about prem. Generally, we are accustomed to someone ask us officially, what's the goal of life? We say prem. Mahaprabhu saying, we are just like, how do you say when you start the car and starting, you're warming the car a little bit. So we are getting somewhere, but still the car didn't start it yet, but we are warming the whole thing here. So that's an interesting idea. And again, this shows how much detailed is the revelation that comes to us in our tradition. Just to give you an example of how the idea of prem is still abstract. Because you can tell, okay, prem is the goal of life. So I tell you, okay, which type of prem? Prem in Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, whatever. I say, Braja prem. Or prem from Krishna. Prem from which face of divinity? Narayan, Ram, for Krishna. Okay, next question is which Krishna? Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan. Okay, which type of prem from Braja Krishna? There are a few varieties there. Just in case for you to know, there are some options. It's not that there's only one single thing, and if you are not there, you are not part of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Of course, there is a specific focus, a main reach, as we know, but there are some other inspirations there. As I like to see, be careful with becoming racist.
What?
Racist.
Racist or racist? How do you say? But when what happens when you are racist in the context of rasa?
I'm a racist.
You become racist. When you say only this thing is the real thing, everyone else is in my or something. No, it's not like that. So someone may say, okay, I go in the become more specific Madhurya rasa. Okay, with which type of Madhurya bhava? In Vrindavan. You have Sambhogichamai, Tattat Bhavichatmika, direct connection with Krishna serving. She who has that connection. So I say, it's not that you choose like this, like if you go to supermarket, oh, give me one of that. No, I mean, it doesn't happen like that. I'm just giving the example. Okay, Manjari Bhav, Tattat Bhavichatmika. Okay, under which? Yuteshwari, group leader. Under which Manjari leader? My point with all this is from the idea of prem. To all this level of specificity, there is some way to go. And we need to go that way to reach there. It's not that I don't have a clue where I will end there, but somehow I expect to, at the end of my life, be thrown into some place that I have not even chosen personally in the first place. So gradually, the idea is our progress will become more and more specific. So again, Mahaprabhu said, continue. Continue this Raga Bhakti line, because just in case, this is what Mahaprabhu came to establish mostly. Prem rasa niryasa kurite ashwadan raga marga bhakti loki kurite prachara. He came to preach, to do prachara of raga marga in this world. And since he mentions that, Ramananda Roy won't speak about shanta rasa then, because that's not included in the equation of raga bhakti. Mostly we speak about Charibab, that's the Sakya Vatsali Madhurya. So Ramananda will speak about all these four. I'm just leave it skipping this. And reach the zenith point of Madhurya Rasa, which again, objectively speaking, we'll say that's the highest thing, the sweetest thing. But subjectively speaking, someone may say, that's not the highest for me, or that's not the sweetest for me, or that's too sweet for me. No, like if you tell me, okay, which is objectively speaking the sweetest fruit, I don't know, let's say mango. I don't know if that's that's in the top one, but let's say mango. Someone say, well, Maharaj, yeah, objectively speaking, that's the sweetest fruit. But subjectively speaking, I like apples more. And it's okay. You follow my point?
Yeah.
So that's why Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami will say every devotee will feel their relationship with Krishna is the best, and every one of them is right. So we are not again in the racist Gaudiya party or something like that. So Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda, please continue augmenting this truth, developing this idea. So inside Madhurya Prem, what's there? So Ramananda Roy will speak about Radha Prem. Remember, all this is in the context of Mahaprabhu being schooled by Vishakha Gopi about how he can do his own homework in the best possible way in the Gaur Lila. So Radha Prem. And Mahaprabhu says, go further. So Ramananda Roy says, till today, nobody ever asks to go further. Anyone in religious history has asked, is there more? So like we are entering into unknown region here, basically. So that starts to show how Gaur Lila becomes like an extension of Krishna Lila, no? An upgraded version of Krishna Lila, if you will. Krishna Lila 2.0 or something. So Ramananda starts to describe the glory of Sri Radha, her qualities, and how that reaches a point that Krishna himself, God, becomes her servant. He says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, "I'm a Shisha Guru Nath Radhikar Premonath. I'm a student in Sri Radha's dancing school, and her prem natya, her loving dance, makes me move in so many. I'm like a puppet in her dancing school, basically." So that's a God we worship, a God who puts his head on the ground at the feet of love. Srila Prabhupada will say, every religion teaches that God is the most worshipable object, but we teach who is the most worshipable object of God. God has his own altar. Basically, so this reaches this point. For example, this happens in the Gita Govindas, you may know. Dehi Pada Palavam Mudaram, famous section with Krishna is putting his head at the feet of Sri Radha, and the author of Gita Govinda, Jayadev Goswami, is feeling, because he's writing the book, and suddenly this line came to him, Dehi Pada Palavam Mudaram, which is Krishna putting, he said, what I am a. This is too much. Nobody said this ever before. Maybe I'm writing too much. Maybe I need a walk. No. Maybe some strange ideas are coming. I need to take a break. No? So as we know, he leaves the house, and eventually he returns, and his wife, Padmavati, she's having lunch. And he says, why didn't you wait for me for lunch? I say, what do you speak about? You already took lunch like an hour ago, and now I'm taking the rest. I said, no, I left like 2 hours ago, and just I'm coming now. No, you're getting old, you're forgetting. You came, you had lunch, maybe you're hungry again, whatever, but you already came. You had lunch. And Jayadev was like, what's going on here? So he looks at the section where he had his like palm paper, if you will, what he was writing. And he says that was put in a different position as how he left before leaving. So he goes closer to that, and he finds that this line that he was only thinking about, the Hipada Palavamudar, was written there. So he realized Krishna himself came, disguised as Jayadev Goswami, to confirm the fact, yes, I put my head at the feet of Sri Radha. Boss. So that's a very important statement. That, of course, here Ramananda Roy is again further unfolding. So then Ramananda Roy, he gives some tattva in the context of presenting all these higher points of bhava, and he feels himself like a puppet in Mahaprabhu's hand. He himself saying, I mean, supposedly I'm teaching you, but you are actually making me dance as you want, basically. And Mahaprabhu says, is there any more? Anything else? He says, there is something else, but I don't know if you will be happy with it or not. Interesting, intriguing. After all this, there is something else. And this is called Prem Bilas Vivarta, which is, of course, a very high confidential topic. Vivarta means like bewilderment. It's another way of saying bimohan, basically. And basically has to do when Sri Radha and Krishna reach a level of empathy and union that both of them forget their own individual identities. Not in the context of impersonal Brahman or something like this, no? But in the context of some form of loving merging in each other, fully immersed in seeing themselves as one another, basically. So Sri Radha feels herself to be Krishna, and Krishna feels himself to be Radha, basically. So this is a very high topic, and Ramananda Roy says, to speak about this, I'm not able to quote any Shastra. We are going beyond Shastra here. We are creating a new Shastra, basically. Standard revealed text, that's far away. No? Shrotam api upanishadam dure harikatamrita. Jiva Goswami quotes in Bhakti Sandarva. This is one of the few verses ascribed to Mahaprabhu, apart from Sikshastakam and apart from Naham Vipru, Nachana Rapatir, this one, who says, Shrotam api upanishadam dure harikatamrita. All these sober statements from the Shruti and Upanishad, like Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, Soham, they're far away from where harikatha can take you. That's another journey altogether. So anyhow, Ramananda Roy says, I cannot quote Shastra, but I will present a poetry composed by myself. Mm-hmm. So Rai Ramananda was a poet, a rasika. He wrote Jagannath Bala Natakam, another plays. So he starts to quote this particular poetry. And what, how does Mahaprabhu react? Till now, Mahaprabhu was, you know, first he said, superficial, go further, and then, okay, nice, augment the truth. And when Rai Ramananda starts to sing his poem, Mahaprabhu goes and shuts his mouth. Stop. Enough. You are speaking too much here, if you will. So, huge silence comes there, if you will. And Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu that that silence is the state of the highest communication, where nothing else needs to be said. I mean, I will say a little bit more, but they reached that place. I've not reached, of course, that place. So why Mahaprabhu put his hand on Ramananda Roy's mouth? Because again, when we speak about Prem Vilas Bibarta, again, this means Radha and Krishna seek to become one in love. I mean, love is all about becoming one. Again, not one in an impersonal sense, but one in a dynamic sense. Yeah, should she go on it and can I continue? No problem?
Yeah,
okay. Sorry for overextending a few minutes. Just to close.
You're not over. You have a task, kirtan also.
Okay.
Yeah. You're well under.
Once Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta said, Harikatha is the swarup of kirtan. Interesting. That's a very interesting concept.
You just got warmed up.
Okay, if you say so. Okay. So the point is, again, when they try to become one in love, the union becomes so strong, as I mentioned, that Radha feels herself to be Krishna. Krishna feels himself to be Radha. Radha's heart becomes Krishna's. Krishna's heart becomes Radha's. So somehow they exchange hearts, if you want to put it poetically, no? Trying to become one in love. But nonetheless, there remain two. Radha has become Krishna, Krishna has become Radha, but still we have Radha and Krishna. They still are not one in love, in the dynamic way that love tries to create this unity, if you will. Mm-hmm. So as close as they try to become, the duality of the two remains. Now you have Radha and Krishna, but now, again, inverted positions, basically. So in this section of Ramananda Sambhad, the zenith of that, we find, if you will, the ultimate solution to their dilemma, which appears in the form of Mahaprabhu, basically, where the two become one in the dynamic sense. Radha Krishna Pranay Bikritilla Dini Shakti Rashmad Katmanoapi Vipura Deha Vidam Gatot Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Tadvayam Adhan Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Shubaltam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. So this verse is mentioned, you know, Bhagavan, in one sense you can say the Absolute is one. There's Advai Gyan Tattva, the Absolute is non-dual. You can speak about two in a dual sense. But for the sake of Leela, the one becomes two. Shakti and Shaktiman and Shakti takes form. Not in time, please, do not enter into the when that happened, Maharaj. And these two, again, in the context of Leela and loving interactions, seek to become one again. That's what love is about. So the result, that union, again, in the dynamic union, because, again, Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radha. He's not Radha Krishna in every sense of the term, because still we have Radha in Gaur Leela as Gadadhar Pandit. That's another series of lectures altogether. But they become two in the form of, okay, Krishna and Radha Bhav. So it is said that basically Mahaprabhu is hearing this, and if you will, Ramananda Roy is, by saying that, he's like, I mean, speaking about Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu says, you are saying too much. I'm being too exposed here.
Give me away.
No? But interestingly, Mahaprabhu, no, covers Ramananda's mouth, but he gives him a particular darshan, as you know. No? And what's the darshan Ramananda Roy has? Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. No? So he's saying, stop saying that, but he's confirming. Yeah, you were okay. the person of Gaur. Mm-hmm. So again, this darshan further confirmed the poetry that, that Brihad Ramananda quoted. As Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will say, Ma Prabhu Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya Rupa Nog Janera Jivan. So Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Sarada and Krishna combined in a particular way, and Rupa Nuga Janera Jivana. For us, Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas, to speak about this is our life and soul. So to speak about how Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, in which sense he is Radha and Krishna combined, that's our life and soul. That's why we are speaking here about these topics. So, just to conclude, and I don't know if you may have any questions or something, but let's go back to the beginning. What did Mahaprabhu ask to Rai Ramananda? What's the ultimate goal of life? And Rai Ramananda ended saying, you are the ultimate goal of life. Mahaprabhu said, shh. He became embarrassed, now blushed, like, okay, but you are the ultimate form of divinity. And love for you constitutes topmost achievement for every jiva, basically. And of course, we will try to unfold this idea in which sense Gaur Lila is considered the ultimate expression of Krishna Lila, if you will. We will try to speak about this these days. So basically, that in connection with Ramananda Sambhadas, as you know, after this, Mahaprabhu is so satisfied with Rai Ramananda that he says, please, quit everything you are doing and come with me forever. Something like this. Because he was working at the government at that time, but we know that he asked permission to Prataparudra Maharaj to quit the government, and Prataparudra Maharaj, another great devotee, he said, okay, you stop working and I will pay you doubled for not working. No? I mean, you are having another work, another very important job, so you don't have any problem. I pay you double salary, you do anything. And just go with Mahaprabhu. So as we know, he eventually joins him in the Gambira, along with Swarup Damodar, and try to assist the two of them, try to assist Mahaprabhu in his culturing, systematic culture of Radha Bhav in the Gambira. Gadadhar Pandit at this point of the Leela is disappearing totally behind the curtains, because there are some reasons for that, we'll maybe speak these days. And Ramananda Roy, sometimes he's accompanying Mahaprabhu. Sometimes Mahaprabhu is tasting not only Radha Bhav, that's the main, of course, experience, but somehow he will taste Krishna Bhav. And it is Krishna's separation from Radha. And at that moment, Rai Ramananda will act as if Subal, because Subal is a Priyanarma Sakha, an intimate friend of Krishna who is privy to his romantic life. And when Krishna is dining in separation from Radha, the Priyanarma Sakhas will be there giving Krishna hope and support. You will meet her. We are making the arrangements, and they are literally saving Krishna's life on a daily basis. And as we like to say the other day, you want to go there, you better qualify yourself, because you will have to assist Krishna, or rather, depending the camp, on that same level. Your service for eternity will be to save the life of God on a daily basis. Interesting, no? So that's why I will say Ramananda Roy is connected with Subal sometimes, because he's assisting Mahaprabhu when he's in that bhav, as Subal is doing with him. So he's mostly quoting Harikatha, Swarup Damodar is mostly quoting Harikirtan. So Mahaprabhu is like nourished by Harikirtan, Harikatha, Harikirtan, Harikatha. So this combination should be always go together. I always remember Madhavananda Prabhu emphasizing this idea. Harikirtan is great and beautiful, but let's try to, how to say, to intermingle or combine that with Harikatha. The two of them are will create the perfect idea. Like when Mahaprabhu was sharing Harikatha with his devotees, Harikatha will reach such an emotional peak that Harikatha exploded in the form of kirtan. There was nothing else need to be said than just singing the names of Krishna. So somehow the ideal Harikatha will conversion explode into kirtan, and eventually kirtan will explode into Harikatha, trying to further expand it, and so on. No? Kirtaniya sadahari, there is no end to that. Nityam bhagavata shivaya. So anyhow, this has been a brief introduction, not so introductory introduction, to Gaur Lila, speaking something mostly about Rai Ramananda. But also what Dev Madhava said today that I appreciate, that trying to get a glimpse of, about how Gaur Lila is not just a mere means to an end, a mere bridge by a destination unto itself, and even the ultimate reach and fulfillment of Krishna Lila, as we will try to speak this day. So these following days we will try to further unpack these implications and trying to dive deep into the ocean of Gaur Lila, again praying to swim there forever and hopefully drown there into such a sea for eternity with the company of all of you, hopefully. So thank you so much, and Sri Ramananda Ki
Jai.
And maybe we are too late, but I don't know if there are any questions.
Okay.
You began, Maharaj, speaking about kind of the different understandings of who Ramananda Roy is. Mm. And you spoke to kind of reasons why Roy Ramananda is kind of exhibiting all of these different moods. Mm. So is it to be understood, you know, Kavi Karnapur is giving his, you know, the opinions that he's heard from sadhus. Mm-hmm. Is it to be understood as something of a bit of a revelation of like what's the purpose of understanding Roy Ramananda specifically, or any associated Mahaprabhu, from these different angles? Like, how do I take that as a sadhaka in my approach to this pastime?
Yeah, I would say to begin with that the main purpose of a book like Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, and for this we have to do some like historical journey. This book appears, of course, after Mahaprabhu's passed away, if you will. And it's kind of quite a foundational book to further establish the Gaudiya Sampradaya, to further establish Mahaprabhu, and in this case, his associates, and create this parallel with Krishna Lila. Because we have to understand that where Goswamis, they were like the architects of the Sampradaya, they wrote these books, then came all these other biographies of Mahaprabhu, trying to make the case, our Bengali boy is God. My point is, I mean, it's important to think, okay, I mean, in India, at every single moment, there's a new avatar around the corner every single week, no? So how to make the case that actually this is not just a one more of those, but why? This is pretty recent, so they make it. My point is, we take that for granted from day one, because we come to the temple, oh, he's Supreme Personality of God, he's Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna. Okay, but at the time, that was another thing, to establish the Sampradaya, to establish who Mahaprabhu is, and Mahaprabhu is never alone, because whenever Krishna executes his Lila, he's accompanied by his associates. So that's also a very interesting situation in Gaur Lila, because Gaur Lila Mahaprabhu is not being a devotee from the beginning. Mm. He's more like a pandit, and everyone loves him. He has all the qualities except he's a non-Vaishnava. And everyone is praying, may he become a Vaishnava, may he become a Vaishnava. And he becomes a Vaishnava by the prayers of the Vaishnavas, if you want to put it like that. And when he becomes a Vaishnava, he becomes such a Vaishnava, and all the devotees start to wonder, we never saw a Vaishnava like this. It's too much. Too much Vaishnavism. So they start to wonder, like similarly like in Vrindavan, maybe he is God. Maybe Mahaprabhu is God. And they will conclude, but if he's God, where are his associates? Because he's always with his associates. And they have a further epiphany. Oh, we are his associates. So they start to awake to their eternal identity in the context of the Lila. No, the Lila is unfolding in that way on earth, no? In the chronological, in the Bhauma Lila. They're, oh, he's God. And where is his, oh, we are his associates. And we are in a new Lila with him. New, quote unquote. No? So I would say that the Kavi Karnapur's Gaur Ganodesh Deepika is pretty much instrumental in trying, not so much like to, as I mentioned, basically to determine in a conclusive way who is who, only this, only this, only this, because he's sharing some other options. But in making this point, all these personalities have their place in Krishna Lila, because Gaur Lila is Krishna Lila. It's an extension. Parishishta Lila is called sometimes, like an appendix of the book. The book is over, but you make full circle in the appendix. There is something else that needed to be said. So Gaur Lila is Parishishta Lila. So So I would say that for us as sadhakas, of course, each of us are in different situations and we may need different things. But the main point of the book is not so much how do I figure out who among all these seven personalities is Rai Ramananda or something like that. But this point of all of them are coming from Krishna Lila. This is nothing else but Krishna Lila in upgraded version, if you will. And so that's the main thing, like to build this faith in Gaur Lila's being non-different from Krishna Lila. As much as we may like to say upgraded version, still is Krishna Lila. No? We cannot make difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan, that's Dham Aparad. If you make difference between Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila, that's Lila Aparad, if you want to put it like that. So I will try to emphasize mostly that and not maybe go like neurotic about so many identities and who he is. And again, in my personal case, that's how I try to relate to that. Okay, there's like, in this case in particular, you have this main identity that has been given by the acharyas in the context of revelation. And there are other things said which can be connected to how the lila unfolds and similar elements in another lilas, and they're connected with that. And yeah, and at the end of the day, as Prabhupada would say, go there and find it for yourself.
So just, if I'm understanding, it's just really to kind of emphasize what you're suggesting, it's to really emphasize the connection, to be able to see the interplay of these two lilas that are going on.
Yeah. If you study all this, that will be a long topic to speak about, but the main seven biographies of Mahaprabhu, there are main seven, although we will, of course, emphasize Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, but there is Chaitanya Charit Mahakavya by Murari Gupta, Chaitanya Chandradai Natakam, two biographies by Kavi Karnapur, one by Chaitanya Mangal, and so on. There are seven, Sigourney Tenanda Kijai. And all these seven, if you analyze them, there are seven appearing different times, and each of them is kind of presenting a more nuanced and detailed description of who Mahaprabhu is, and which is the ultimate purpose of his. In the very beginning, he's more depicted as the Lord of Vaikuntha or something like this, and Yuga Avatar function. And then you start to have more and more all this converging into Chaitanya Charitamrita, which in detail there is a description of the reasons for Mahaprabhu coming and so on. So my point is, in an attempt to complement that unfolding, Kavi Karnapur is making that contribution, like establishing these parallels which have not been made basically in these biographies. So kind to bring more cohesiveness to how Gaudiya Sampradaya is being built at the time. Remember, it's a time that the whole thing is still being placed, if you will. Okay, so it's last question from today.
Maharaj, I've always wondered this, when we say that, as per Brahma Samhita, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati writes there, that one gets two for the price of one, practically Krishna consciousness, one gets a form in Gaura Lila and another form in Krishna Lila simultaneously. And when we say this, how do you understand Sri Prabhupada and Sri Bhakti Siddhanta? Are they already participating in Gaura Lila, or do they have another Gaura Lila form and then a Krishna Lila form? What is the understanding on that?
I mean, you are asking me if they are...
Do they have another Gaura Lila form? Since they were here, they're also...
If Nitya Siddha is already, then is their Gaura Lila form. Acharya.
So you are not asking me if now, if you will, they are having those two forms, but if they had those two forms, what they were... on earth or something?
Well, is that
the eternal Lila of Sri Prabhupada that will be, Abhacharanam in Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and same for Bhakti Siddhanta?
In Gaura Lila, there won't be sannyasis. We won't be Brahmin Kishore in Gaura Lila. Our identity will be Brahmin Kishore. So, as Mahaprabhu is being a sannyasi here, but generally we don't project to serve him in Nitya Navadvip as a sannyasi. That's a naimittika lila, or like a incidental lila. In the same way, we may be sannyasis here. I'm one. But my eternal prospect is not to be sannyasi. So, just in case not to over absolutize Sannyas Ashram. No, I mean, that's temporary, basically. But of course, we will consider that both Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, they will inhabit Gaur Lila Nityanavip in the forms that we got to know about, if you will. And that's why in many cases these high caliber sadhus, when they pass away, they are put in samadhi. No. Samadhi means also the body is preserved. And because the idea is with salt and all this stuff, like the idea is in that same body, fully spiritualized body, they are existing a little bit younger, young Brahmin boys, in that body they are serving Gaur Lila eternally. And that's why we have the pictures on the altar. The altar is a portal to eternity. They are there basically, serving there basically. And of course, in Krishna Lila as well. Okay, I think we can stop here today. Tomorrow we will continue with some further discussions. Thank you so much. Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srimad Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda ki jai, Tirubhava Mahasakti Tirai Ramananda ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda ki jai.